Temperatures are rising across much of the country this week, a reminder of the long, hot and extremely dry summer we've been told to expect. Treasurer Josh Frydenberg and the Minister for Water and Natural Disasters, David Littleproud, are touring drought-affected communities to hear directly from those on the ground. Meanwhile, Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton has hit out at climate change protesters disrupting traffic in Brisbane, calling for them to face the full force of the law and have any welfare payments cancelled. I spoke to Greens leader Richard Di Natale a short time ago, and I started by asking him what he made of another developing story, news that White Ribbon Australia has gone into liquidation.
Well, it's obviously very sad in many ways because we do need very strong voices in the public debate advocating on what is such an important issue and something that we as a society are only just coming to grips with, and that is the fact that one woman a week dies at the hands of a violent partner, that we have behind closed doors on most nights, an epidemic of family violence. We've got ridiculous sideshows like the one we've seen in the Senate, where we've got Pauline Hanson running a crusade against the family law courts. And what we really need to be doing is trying to get to some of these root causes. And that's a big cultural change, and we need as many voices in the public debate as possible.
The charity said in a statement that the decision was made following an analysis of its future sustainability. So does that leave a significant gap in terms of that work, which you referred to, that White Ribbon was doing? In fact, I would say it's the most recognisable group publicly in the mainstream for these issues.
No question. And I think what it does highlight is that we now need to ensure that we do have strong, independent voices in our national debate, pushing governments to do the things that we know help.
Just on you, before we move on to some other issues, you said in an interview on ABC Radio earlier this week that you weren't sure you would lead the Greens at the next federal election. What factors will you take into consideration?
Oh, well, I think I was asked about whether I'd recontest.
Probed, sure.
Yes, I was probed, which is fine. Look, it's in the Senate, you're putting your hand up for a six-year term. It's not a three-year term, it's a six-year term. And so if I was putting my hand up to stand at the next election, that's a big commitment. And look, the bottom line is it's a decision you make with your family. It's not a decision you make on your own. Your partner makes a huge sacrifice. I've got two young kids. And so they're the sort of factors that I'd be weighing up before I decide to recommit for another 6 years.
How about succession planning?
How about it?
Yeah. Are you doing it?
Oh, well, no, not actively. We've got a smallish team, hopefully one that will continue to grow. But we've got a lot of people who are capable of leading our organisation. And one of the really important things about the Greens is we're a grassroots, members-driven organisation. Our policies, our candidates, all really driven by our members. But we've got so many capable people in our party room who could do the job.
The Home Affairs Minister, Peter Dutton, has suggested that Extinction Rebellion protesters who've been disrupting traffic in Brisbane, that's their strategy, should have their welfare payments cancelled. There are other suggestions he's made too, I think, in relation to basically, you know, even go to jail. What do you make of that?
Well, Peter Dutton doesn't know what living in a democracy means. I mean, one of the most fundamental rights in any democracy is the right to speak up and to protest against those in power. And what we're seeing with a number of protests are people fed up with governments and not doing what needs to be done, whether it be tackling climate change, the mass extinction that we're seeing, loss of biodiversity, one of the fastest rates ever in human history. And people are fed up where we've got governments doing the bidding of big and powerful industries like the fossil fuel industry and not implementing laws that we know will protect the environment and leave the planet in better shape for future generations. He's starting to sound more like a dictator than he is an elected politician. Because somebody says something that he doesn't like, that he doesn't support, he's saying we're going to strip away income
support
from them.
It's not so much what they're saying, though, to be fair to Peter Dutton. He's talking about their actions. Now, they have been using tactics which are seeing them, you know, receive fines in Brisbane, holding up traffic, and they're very deliberately using these tactics. Do you think those tactics are acceptable?
Well, those tactics, when they're illegal, these are people who will face the consequences of their actions.
You're saying that's why we have the consequences are not strong enough?
Well, they are strong enough. Whether it be trespass laws, people can be fined, and indeed, when there's serious public damage and trespass, people are subject to sentences, prison sentences. So we do have laws. The laws exist. When people decide that they're going to break those laws, they need to face the consequences of those actions. Well, it's not just fines. Many of these laws carry with them custodial sentences.
So, do you support them?
I support the laws as they exist. I mean, look, I come from a party that is founded on the notion that protest and social movements are an important part of creating change, as is the political process. My predecessor, Bob Brown, was in jail on the day he was awarded an Australia Day honour. So, of course, you know, we support the right of people to protest. We also recognise that when that protest means that people are breaking the law, they need to face the consequences of those actions. But for Peter Dutton to say we're going to start docking people's income support, I mean, this is not a democracy.
Sure,
it's
but
a
if there are full-time activists who receive welfare and then use that welfare to facilitate full-time activism, do you think that's appropriate?
Well, there are people who are currently on income support who have to satisfy that they're looking for work and they have to satisfy all of those requirements. Otherwise, they don't continue to get that income support. If people choose in their own time to express what is their democratic right to stand up for something they believe in, like the fate of the planet, the fact that we're facing a climate emergency and governments are sitting on their hands, then absolutely they should be able to do that. What are we saying? That because someone's on income support, they shouldn't be allowed to protest?
Okay, how about
they shouldn't be able to spend their private time standing up for causes they believe in?
How about the actual strategies and the tactics that are specifically being used by this group? Do you personally support them?
Look, Patricia, I have... When you look at all change, social movements, those people who are on the front line, whether it be apartheid, I mean, the criticism directed against some of the strongest and fiercest opponents to apartheid was similar to the criticisms that we're hearing today, people campaigning against environmental destruction. Right through history, with every social movement...
Can you people really compare campaigning against apartheid to the kind of Extinction Rebellion protesters in Brisbane?
Well, I don't want to compare one cause and pit it against another, but what I will say is that we are facing a climate emergency. We're seeing the loss of plants and animals like at no other time in human history. We are in the middle of a climate and environmental crisis, and people are frustrated with the actions of governments.
Do you think it's particularly helpful at getting people on their side, though, when they're holding up traffic like that and creating chaos?
I think we need to do lots of things to actually
change. But do you see that it actually puts people offside?
But it also means that we can have a conversation, and we wouldn't be having this conversation right now about the need to act on the climate crisis. I mean, I've chosen to engage through politics to try and achieve change through the political process.
You see, if you were driving around in Brisbane and you were just stuck, you wanted to pick up your kids from school, you were stuck, or drop them off at school happening during peak hour.
It's actually young people and school kids who were driving much of these protests.
I mean, I was at the climate. Their fellow
I was
citizens?
At the climate strike. Like, the city shut down for a few hours. It was an inspiring movement to be a part of. I was proud to be marching with lots of young people who get it, and that gives me hope that we've actually got some prospect of turning things around. The problem is right now there are people in power who are stuffing it up, and it's those young people who are taking action into their own hands, and good on them for doing it.
If I can take you to the story that's been dominating now for several days, and that's in relation to this phone call between Donald Trump and our Prime Minister Scott Morrison. Would you, I mean, you're not running for Prime Minister, you're the leader of the Greens, but would you have taken Donald Trump's call?
Well, the Greens have taken a position when it comes to the US alliance that, of course, we need to continue to have a strong relationship with the US, but we shouldn't be acceding to every request that the US makes, that we make decisions in our own interests, in the interests of global peace and security, not just do everything that the US asks of us. And our neighbours in New Zealand have taken an approach much like that. We in Australia, and successive governments have done it, now under Scott Morrison, that basically the US president says jump and we say how high.
So should he not have taken the call?
Well, taking a call is one thing, but then saying that we're going to engage and meddle in what is clearly a partisan exercise.
But are we really meddling? Because it predates that call.
We don't know. We don't know. I mean, we don't know what the Prime Minister's agreed to do. Well, what's actually happened here? I mean, this is bizarro world stuff. You've got Alexander Downer being accused of being a spy, doing the dirty work of the Democrats. Now, I mean, as unbelievable as that is, that's the proposition that's being put forward. And we've got the Australian government engaging with the US on this conspiracy theory, throwing Alexander Downer under a bus, and basically saying we're going to help Donald Trump do his dirty work in trying to distract from what are very legitimate accusations about his role in foreign interference in the US presidential election.
But the Prime Minister has said it's very unusual or unlikely that we'd provide these cables or anything classified, but he hasn't ruled it out, but he's said it.
Well, he should.
He thinks he should rule it out.
I think we should not be engaging in what's clearly a partisan domestic political exercise being conducted by one of the most dangerous...
It's a government inquiry now. This is the difficulty, isn't it?
Well, the person who's responsible for undertaking this inquiry is clearly somebody who's doing the work of the Trump administration. I mean, that's beyond
doubt. Who are the elected, democratically elected government.
And also the most dangerous, unhinged administration we have seen in US history. And that's not overstating it. Let's just state things as they are. This is the most dangerous, unhinged, narcissistic president that the US has ever seen. And we here in Australia, because of the actions of the Morrison government, are working hand in glove with them to continue what is a very, very dangerous road.
Why isn't it good enough that the Prime Minister says it's very unlikely or unusual? I forgot the exact word he used, but it's uncommon.
Because we should never
that we interfere would provide this
in domestic politics. I mean, even
if he's already said it's uncommon, indicating that, you know, we're not going to give a diplomatic cable over.
Just rule it out point blank. We've had a lot of discussion in Australia about foreign interference. Not in relation to the US, but in relation to China. And now here we are, the US, trying to drag us into what is a dirty, messy, domestic, partisan exercise to help Donald Trump. That's a very dangerous space for Australia to play in. We should rule it out categorically. And Scott Morrison should be crystal clear with the Australian public. This is Donald Trump's business, not our business, and we're staying out of it.
So one of the calls of the ALP has been to see a transcript or some release of this conversation between the Prime Minister and Donald Trump. Is that really appropriate? I mean, shouldn't leaders be able to have these conversations without transcripts having to be made public?
On the main, yes. But what we're talking about here is Donald Trump asking Australia to get involved in a partisan political exercise to help his administration gain an advantage over the Democrats. That's what we're being asked to do. This is just Donald Trump engaging in his re-election campaign. Australian government should run a million miles from that. We shouldn't engage in that, and particularly with this president. I mean, we just heard today, I'm just coming in to speak to you, Patricia, the wall he's been talking about to keep immigrants out of the US. He's talking about shooting immigrants when they cross the border. He had to be advised that that was illegal. He's talking about putting alligators and electrifying fences and spikes to impale people. I mean, this is utterly, if the stakes weren't so high, it would be farcical.
Richard Di Natale, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Patricia.
That's the Greens leader, Richard Di Natale. 0418 226 576 is our text line. Lots of issues traversed in that interview, including White Ribbon Australia going into liquidation, but also Richard Di Natale's very different view that the protesters shouldn't have their welfare payments suspended and that it's part of our democratic process that they be allowed to continue to protest, and that the laws which already are there to punish them, fines and so forth, are already there and exist. What do you make of it? 0418 226 576.